It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
It is the APC podcast, once again from AcmePackingCompany.com and SB Nation, talking about your Green Bay Packers. The preseason has concluded. We are giving ourselves the 36-minute challenge on this podcast. We're using a free Zoom account, and we are just going to fly by the seat of our pants. I am Zach Rapport in Albuquerque, New Mexico, at Zach Rapport on Twitter, in a different room than I normally am, with the window open and my dogs here. And dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria. Let's talk preseason. Cutdowns happened. Some other fun stuff happened, or not so fun stuff happened. I am joined to talk about all that stuff with Alex Patakis. How are you?
Doing quite well. The whiskey worked. Thanks, Dr. Rapport.
I know how to cure what ails you, man.
It actually was a sinus infection. So I tried like three different medications and then did a telehealth visit and told them like, hey, I don't know who you are. I can't sleep at night. I literally can't stop coughing. Give me anything. So now I'm taking like six different drugs and slept great.
So you feel
I'm
great.
Refreshed, ready to go.
You're on six different drugs and ready to talk some preseason football, baby.
Yeah, five COVID tests later. I was convinced I had it, but thankfully still negative.
We're also joined only on one drug, as far as I can tell, a lot of caffeine. We're joined by Justice Mosqueda. How you doing, man?
We got two. I have a dip in right now, so we got two. Yeah, on top nice. Of being over caffeinated.
Peel back the curtain a little bit. Dip in.
Sorry about that, folks. Caffeine's a whack drug, kids. Don't do it.
Don't do
it. Or nicotine.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Caffeine is too. But.
Today was supposed to be our tarot card episode. So the first thing that I will say is we can't do the tarot card episode this year. We are disappointed. We reached out to Jamie, who... I don't think we had him on last year, but we've had him on every year prior. And I think not only were we a day late and a dollar short, but he is in the middle of, I believe, an international move right now. So unable to join the show. We're going to make do. We still got some fun content for you guys. I think maybe we will round out the show if we can with our own sort of off the wall predictions, for something that may or may not happen this year. And we'll call that, divining, poor man's divining. I'm so much disrespect being thrown Jamie's way by how cavalier I'm being about that. But disappointed we can't do tarot cards, but we soldier on. Two quick notes of business before we move on. The Listener Pick'em League is back. A bunch of you guys reached out after last week. I got you signed up. If you are interested in playing our free Listener Pick'em League, get at us on Twitter at the APC Pod, DM us, send us your email address. Or email us at theapcpodcast@gmail.com. Free to play, a free weird prize for the top placing listener. As well, I wanted to give a shout out to listener Scott, who joined our Patreon after last week's show. Patreon.com/notenugs, if that is a thing that you care to do. We greatly appreciate it. And with that, I think now we can officially move on. And should we do haikus first and then hit a few news items? I almost didn't have a haiku, and then Alex, you reminded me. So you seem gung-ho on the haikus. You want to go?
Sure. I missed week one of this and thought I, like, you know, didn't do my homework, and now no one else is doing it. So I started slow, but hey, man, I'm reliable.
You started slow, but now you got the essential oils. And we will enter the spa, the APC spa, and take it away, man.
Okay. To draft a punter, a good thought till it's not. Farewell, John Kimble.
Amazing. Talking punters. Ben Foldy sends his regards, and rest assured that he is extremely disappointed that he can't be here on today's show.
Being serious?
I think he was. The Packers have cut J.K. Scott, and they have traded for Corey. I already asked for pronunciation and forgot it. Bajorquez? How do we say this?
Bohorquez.
Bohorquez. That's what I thought.
A lot of people get confused with the Quez. They want to say Quez. As someone with a K in his name, it's definitely Quez.
I pulled the APC writers and someone said, Google says it's Quez. And I'm like, Quez in what language?
No
what
chance. You, it's like it's Quesada. Quez. It's like Quesada.
Anyway, he hails from, he was on the Rams. He was back there with Johnny Hecker. And I don't know. What do we know about this guy? Is he better than J.K. Scott?
He has a boot. It's worth noting. I wrote up in the post we got on APC that Hecker actually restructured his deal. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Rams kind of gave Hecker an ultimatum. The other thing, too, is Bohorquez also got all pro votes last year. So worth noting at least a little bit that, you know, he's been highly regarded. You know, PFF had him graded pretty high. I know they did the same thing with J.K. Scott, but J.K. Scott, I don't think, got all pro votes.
No.
So it was kind of surprised when the Bills let him go last year, and then he basically just was in a battle with Hecker in Los Angeles. Hecker was making more money than he was. At the end, they said, all right, Hecker's the better player. Will you take less money to keep your roster spot? And they traded Bohorquez. And, you know, the cost it took to trade him wasn't very much. I mean, the Packers basically gave up a 6th-round pick and got back a 7th. So they didn't even really lose a pick. They just moved down from the 6th round, which, hey, man, it doesn't really matter at that point. You know, they got more return on investment from the Hallman trade with the Texans, and Hallman didn't even end up making that roster. So
you have any final parting words for J.K. Scott there, Alex?
No, I would just hope that Bohorquez is at the very least consistent. And also, don't know this, but who is the Packers holder? Like, does he hold? Do all punters hold now? Is that just a thing?
Yeah, all punters hold now. It's kind of a league-wide structure where they don't want to pull backup quarterbacks out of offensive practice, so they just kind of let the special teamers go hang out by themselves.
It's amazing it took that long for that to happen, you know?
And they were just, like too focused on, like, what if our backup quarterback could run a trick play as a holder? And then everyone realized we don't actually do that, and it's actually a better use of practice time to have the punter just hold it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well...
That's about what we get. 2 minutes on punting. That's pretty good.
Pretty good off-season content.
He's from your neck of the woods too, Zach. He played at New Mexico.
Oh, there you go. He played at UNM.
Yeah, he was a Lobo.
He was a Lobo. All right. Little. I don't know if I can call myself a local yet, but there's some pride involved there.
Homeowner. I mean, that's true. You could
put down roots. Claim. As the spa music again permeates the show, because I'm ready to go into my haiku. I'm trying to run in a tight ship here. We've re-entered the spa, and here we go. Equanimous St. Brown, your name is half a haiku already. I just ran out of syllables.
Hell yeah.
That's all I got. I'm kind of jumping the gun a little bit here talking about cutdowns. So I will sort of jump ahead here to talk about Equanimeous St. Brown. Winfrey and Hazleton are gone. No surprise there, but both Reggie Bagleton and Equanimeous St. Brown are gone as well. I have your article pulled up here, but I can't count justice. How many wide receivers does that bring our count to? And are you surprised that St. Brown got the boot?
6, and not really, because he wasn't on the field. And when guys are performing and you're not on the field, you find your way off the roster, especially after you're at the end of a rookie contract when the other players are still functionally like controlled by the team.
Yeah.
So, you know, Malik Taylor and Bagleton were, I think, what the last roster spot came down to. Bagleton played very well, especially the last two preseason games. I wouldn't be surprised if he makes a 53 somewhere else, but I think what it came down to at the end with Malik Taylor was he's a guy who can help as a vice guy, and he's a guy who can help as a punt gunner. So he's going to influence both sides of the punting game without the ball being in his hand. And then he's also kind of a deep threat, which is what you need. If, you know, MVS goes down, you don't have a guy who can run like that.
Yeah.
So I think that plus the age difference between Bagleton and Malik Taylor was probably what made the difference. But if Begelton tomorrow is on the Packers practice squad and at some point he gets elevated on the roster because of an injury, I would not be surprised at all.
Yeah, I think it was Tom Silverstein talking about EQ and saying, essentially, it is obvious when he is on the field that he has NFL level talent, that he is an NFL player. He's just never on the field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's tough. And then, you know, it's tough talking about players' families, too. That's always a tricky thing.
Yeah.
But with his dad, I mean, you hear a lot of like helicopter dad stuff, right? Where like at Notre Dame, he was doing his own stretches pregame. They wouldn't let him contribute on special teams for the Fighting Irish, stuff like that, where it's like, you know, if you're a day three wide receiver, it's pretty tough to make a roster, you know, kind of doing your own thing. That's not kind of like how the NFL works. So yeah. I'm sure that in some ways played against him. I don't think that he's out of the league by any means. Like, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets picked up on someone else's practice squad or a 53 even. It's just he hasn't been on the field. So it's tough to make the roster, especially when the Packers are so deep at the bottom end of their wide receiver room.
Yeah, it's one of those guys you hope pops up in a year or two on someone else. It's just you're just watching a random game on TV and you see him. You're like, yeah, there he is. Good for you.
Like a Buffalo Bills playoff game.
Hey, there you go. Kumaro, EQ, and Kafusa. What's that guy's name?
Kafusi? Yeah. Kafusi. We'll see. Kafusi can stick on the practice squad too. It seemed like they really liked him. Yeah. He kind of plays like that Mercedes Lewis type of role as a blocking tight end. So I wouldn't be surprised if they want to keep him around. Because if Lewis goes down, he's probably their best option as like a true Y, you know, functionally, basically a unbalanced right tackle. Like that's kind of his role. He's not going to be catching a lot of balls.
Yeah. Moving on. One of the sort of big lingering questions over the past few weeks is Bakhtiari's status and will they put him on the PUP? Will he go on IR? Will they just roster him and wait a couple weeks? They do indeed put him on the PUP list. Are the Packers like secretly confident in their line depth after a pretty rocky preseason, or is it just that Bach was never that far along enough to begin with and that it was always going to need an extra couple weeks to get into playing shape?
I mean, they made the call for 6 weeks. That's what PUP does.
Yeah.
The Packers got put in a tough spot because you can't, Rob Domofsky talked about this on Twitter. You can't get a player off of PUP, have him on your 53, then put him on your IR so that you can bring him back in 3 weeks. Because to get on the 53-man roster, you have to pass a physical. And that physical then says, you know, whatever your injury for PUP was no longer qualifies you to be on IR to return. So they kind of had their hand forced. Once they knew, you know, he wasn't going to be ready for a couple of weeks, you basically have to make the decision. Do we want him taking up a roster spot and just being inactive on game day, or do we want to save that roster spot and we have to wait until, you know, week 7 for him to come back or whatever? So that's kind of the situation they're in. Elgton Jenkins, you know, he didn't play in the preseason, but by all accounts, you know, in camp, he was doing well. He was doing well in joint practices with the Jets. He was winning one-on-ones against, you know, Preston Smith and Rashawn Gary. Gary's been on and off the practice field, and obviously Za'Darius Smith has a back issue. So it's not like he's been tested that much outside of Preston Smith. But by all accounts, everyone who was at practice said that he was handling Preston pretty well, and Preston's pretty good at getting after the quarterback. So that's a positive point going into the season, at least.
Yeah, and Alex, I don't know how much preseason football you actually watched or how much stock you take in all of this, but 0-3 in the preseason, quote unquote, but they didn't play like almost any, they were holding out 30 to 32 guys every single week.
The only starters they got is the interior offensive line, right? Cause they're trying to get a look at the rookies. And then, what's his name? Chris Barnes played some at inside linebacker. Outside of that, none of the starters played, unless you count Stokes, I guess, but I wouldn't. Or Chandon. Chandon played in the slot, but that was it.
Yeah. They pretty much punted on the preseason, which I'm totally cool with. As far as whether or not I watched it, it's actually pretty funny because this is the one and only time this has happened to me in my life. I watched the preseason game against the Bills by accident. I was actually out because it was like an early Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
And I was out watching a soccer game, and like there's one TV that wasn't on this soccer. It was Chelsea versus Liverpool. It was like a huge game. I was at this bar, and there was one TV in the corner that had the Bills on, and I was like, oh yeah, that's the Packers. So I got to watch Jordan Love, which was cool because, you know, I don't know. It's like the most preseason football I've watched this year, but the Bills fucking let, like, what were they doing? Why was Josh Allen playing so late? Like, what are they doing? It's so, so crazy. The difference.
I mean, they were hitting them with tempo too. I mean, it looked like Jim Kelly peak tempo with Poley in there. Like, it looked like K-Gun stuff. Like, they were trying to score.
Just dominating the preseason.
Maybe, would that make a little more sense if there wasn't now a two-week gap before you actually play a game? You know, because it's like, there's going to be rust regardless. Like, I like the Packers' approach of, like, there's 2 weeks in between, so none of this shit matters anyway. Plus, yeah, I don't know. That's weird, man. I thought that was so weird. They were fucking, like, going after it. So I don't feel bad in the Packers getting blanked at all. But, yeah. I don't know. I saw enough. You know, I saw enough to... I think my favorite thing about the preseason is that I didn't see anything that convinces me that Jordan Love will suck. You know? Like, yeah. There was no, like, oh, fuck, moment where you're just like, this guy's not it. There wasn't necessarily the moment like the other way, but I don't know. He's just okay, which is fine with me. Like, that's okay for him to be in that spot at this point in his career,
yeah.
In my opinion. I don't know.
It's tough to watch him be in that spot, though, and then see like some Justin Fields throws and just go, damn.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. Fair.
All right.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Luckily, Aaron Rodgers is still on the team. For now.
Oh, yeah.
Forgot about that. Yeah.
Is he going to keep the hair? Does he still, is he, because I know every preseason he's like a little shaggy. Are we rolling with the hair for the,
this is the off-season content people want.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. It would be kind of cool to see him play a full season with long hair.
Yeah, just let it grow. Just let it grow out. Let those locks fly.
The hockey hair. Hockey hair. Ben Foley's a big fan of that.
He started a trend. 2021 hockey hair. All right, I'm going to cue the, I'm going to cue the sad piano music as we get ready to more officially talk about cutdowns, which happened today. I wanted to give a little somber nod to saying goodbye to some of these guys. We will start. We're just going to run down, I think, some of the more notable names or names that you may have heard of, like Kurt Benkert, for example. Quarterback Kurt Benkert is cut. I believe I heard Tom Silverstein say that he doubts that anybody would actually claim him and that they'll be able to get him back on the practice squad. Justice, do you think that that's true?
I think when you look at certain teams like the Dallas Cowboys, I know everyone wants to point to Atlanta, but that front office and coaching staff turned over. So I don't know if there's that connection to Atlanta in the same way, you know, that a former player would usually have. So, like, when you look at a team like Dallas, where their only backup quarterback right now is Cooper Rush. Cooper Rush isn't an NFL-caliber quarterback. I think a team like that would be more in play than Atlanta. You know, that's kind of a shaky situation right now. I mean, worst-case scenario, you probably bring Jake Dolagala back to the practice squad. Maybe Donald Hammond, who they've worked out twice, who's a quarterback from Air Force. Very fun. But I think it's probably, like, an 80% chance that they can get him back on the practice squad, but I guess we'll have to see tomorrow.
Cooper Rush sounds like a rejected name for like a Street Fighter character from America. That's my only thoughts on that name.
I mean, do we have proof he's not?
We do not. There you go. Hot takes. That's what people are dialing in for. Moving on. Running back Dexter Williams is gone. So those hoping to nab Kylan Hill as their guy in next week's guy draft, a little tease like they call in the business, are happy about that. Justice, did Dexter Williams really have a chance of making this roster this year?
I don't think so. After Kylan Hill was drafted and Patrick Taylor looked the way he did, I think in terms of talent, he was always, you know, fifth in that running back room, which always makes it tough. I don't even know if he's going to be brought back for the practice squad because I don't know what the value add of having fifth running back is if they can bring back Patrick Taylor too. Taylor is a guy who I think eventually could end up on the roster if there's an injury at running back. He can also contribute on special teams when he doesn't have the ball in his hand, but he can also return kicks, which is also a positive. So I think there's just so much more versatility in Patrick Taylor in that, like, he can catch passes, he can play in the gun. He's also a big body who can run inside. He can contribute on special teams. He can return kicks, that I don't really see a role for Dexter Williams.
Yeah. Alex, can you confidently say that you have seen Dexter Williams for more than 30 seconds of your entire life?
No, I can't confidently say that. I probably have, but I would, it's right around there. 29 and a half seconds is definitely where the line is.
That's the line.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'm pumped about this group, though. I'm very excited to see. I mean, I don't know. I think, was it Tex, or maybe it was even Ben 2 weeks ago? Like, Kylin Hill's going to play in games. You know, he's not just like a depth piece. Like, I feel like there will be a role for all these guys, which is really exciting.
Yeah, that was Tex talking about a piece from Chris Burke on acmepackingcompany.com about what there is to like about Kylin Hill.
Yeah, I think Kylin will probably be the backup in gun looks, if that makes sense. So, like, Aaron Jones needs a breather. They're going in the shotgun. They're probably sending in Kylin Hill instead of A.J. Dillon, where, like, Dillon's, like, the I formation backup, if that makes any sort of sense. And then Kylin, I think, too, you know, with Patrick Taylor off the roster, I think he's probably going to return some kicks for the team. So punt return wise, I think that's going to be end up being Cobb and Amari Rodgers. But kick return wise, I think Kylin Hill has a chance to get his hands on the ball.
Yeah, it's amazing what one late round draft pick flashing can do, and just how quickly we've forgotten about the release of Jamal Williams, and how sad that seemed to make everybody.
I'm still sad. Every time I see him smiling in blue, I'm like,
I mean, so much of that is just tied up in his personality.
Yeah.
Which, again, I wish is the way a lot of people approach this game, but it's not. But, you know, I think we'll forget really fast once Kylin makes a play in a game that means something for us.
Personalities and likable people and good stories. I mean, that's like, I don't know, 40% of what I like about football. So I don't know. I'm team Jamal. Justice, what do you think? How different is the backfield going to look without Jamal? Do you think AJ just slots in there and it's the same as it ever was?
Yeah, basically. I mean, I think he's going to take a lot of those plays where it's more like power gap stuff. That's kind of how AJ Dillon wins. And that's kind of how Jamal wins. And that's why I'm not surprised he ended up in Detroit, where it seems like, you know, they want to like hashtag establish it and run up the middle.
Establish the run.
That seems like a pretty good fit. If you're going to run up the middle, there's not that many backs in the league who are better at that than Jamal Williams, especially guys who are like borderline starters. So I think it kind of fit everyone to kind of move on once they knew what they had. And hopefully Jamal gets more touches in Detroit than he would have in Green Bay. I mean, I'm not rooting against the guy just because he's a Lion. It's not like the Lions are going to really compete with Green Bay this year anyway.
They're not. Maybe I'll eat these words at some point, but they're not really an NFL team this year.
They're unserious is the way I would say it. They're unserious about competing right now, which is fine. You're in a massive rebuild, but it is what it is.
It's always nice to have one of the teams in your division be a not serious team.
There's the Vikings too. I mean.
Yes, they are a different kind of not serious team. Oh boy, put them in plexiglass, baby. We talked about wide receivers already. Offensive line, I guess a bunch of offensive linemen are cut, including hometown hero Cole Van Lannen. The line played pretty poorly for a lot of the preseason. Justice, I'm curious, since you focus on the line, is this basically what you expected? Were there any surprises in terms of who was cut and who stays?
Yeah, Nyman making it was kind of a surprise. You know, he had a really bad week one preseason against Houston. Did better in week two and week three, I'll say that. Seems like he's kind of their emergency offensive lineman at left tackle. Yeah. So I don't know if he's going to stick on the roster the whole year. Like, once Bakhtiari comes back and, you know, Jenkins can kick out to left tackle if, you know, there is an injury, you're at a position where Nyman really is like your third left tackle, and he's only playing left tackle, right? So how much value add does that bring? That's when I think his situation roster-wise changes. Jake Hansen is an interesting one. They had, you know, Lucas Patrick trying to snap the ball and stuff in practice.
Yeah.
Obviously, Elgton Jenkins can also play center. He can play all five. People love talking about that. So Jake Hansen came into the game last week after struggling for most of the preseason. First play in, bad snap. And then I think a drive later, he couldn't get a snap off and it ended up being a delay of game in the red zone. So he had pretty much as bad of a week three preseason game as you could expect for a center who's a borderline roster guy. And he still made the team. So he must have made that team, you know, basically walking off the bus. So that one's a little bit of a surprise. Again, once Jenkins doesn't have to play left tackle and Jenkins has coverage, right, where he can play all five, I do wonder if Hansen's roster spot then kind of becomes flexible in that, like, all right, we got an injury, but we don't want to put this guy on IR PUP. So what if we just release Jake Hansen? Like, I think that's kind of the situation he might be in a couple weeks. Ben Braden also, by the way, was kind of a surprise release. He was a guy who was working with the first team offensive line early on in the summer, and now he's not there. And he was playing left tackle too. So I think that was kind of a situation where they try to get him into a spot where he could compete with Nyman for that kind of reserve left tackle role.
Yeah.
And Nyman ended up winning. So I wouldn't be surprised if Braden ends up making it on the practice squad. Cause again, they thought enough about him that they were putting him out there with the starters early on.
Yeah. Moving on to other names you may know, Kabian Ento is a guy who was on the bubble, but a lot of people like him. He is released. Correct me if I'm wrong, but is Isaac Yiadom is on the team, right?
Yeah, he's their fourth outside corner. Really, you got to look at their cornerback room as almost two different positions, whereas the outside corners, which is, you know, Jair, Kevin King, Stokes, Yiadom, and then the slot guys, which are Shannon Sullivan and Shamar John Charles. And they almost played exclusively in the slot this preseason. So I think John Charles is very much like Chandon's backup, not an outside corner. He is Chandon's backup. And then at some point might replace him, you know, once Chandon is up for free agency or something.
Kabian Ento is a guy who I know that Ben has liked following him. He is practice squad eligible. He has a little bit of good tape, so I wouldn't be surprised if someone took a flyer on him, but if they could get him on the practice squad, just saying for next week, for the guy draft, he's guy eligible. Alex, get him on your radar.
Yeah, yeah. I'm excited for the guy draft. I wanted to just interject quickly about a question because I think Zach and I briefly touched on this like on a very first podcast at the start of the preseason, but the situation's changed now after three games. So, Justice, what do you feel like can you take enough from this preseason to kind of evaluate this new defensive scheme? And just like if you had to say, hey, here's like two things for the novice to watch that's going to be very different this year in this defense, like what those are now that we've got three games worth of film, even if the Packers did kind of say screw it and punt on playing anybody. But
yeah, so two big things. One, their base and nickel are completely divorced from each other in that they match personnel to what the offense's personnel is, which was very different than what Petten did. Petten went in dime, I think it was like 40% of the time, which like led the league by far. They basically don't play dime. So they're playing nickel, which the Packers were like last in last year when the opposing offense has three or more wide receivers and you're really only going to see three wide receiver sets in the NFL. No teams really play 10 personnel, which is four wide.
So they were the lowest percentage in terms of how frequent they were in nickel last year. And is that the most frequent like defensive scheme that was played around the rest of the league?
Yes. Yes. So like nickel is back. So yeah, basically what the Packers did, they would play base. And then when you went to, you know, 11 personnel or whatever, that's when they would do their three safety looks. They would drop down Amos into the box and they would play with six DBs. That is very rare in the NFL and seems like it's like not even in the playbook. I know some people have been at practice tweeted about like three safety looks. I haven't seen it in preseason. So I would be pretty surprised with that, especially now that they're only rostering four safeties. The other thing that I would say is their defense thinks of itself as left to right. And that may seem weird, but like the Seahawks style defense that kind of took over the league, right, is very strength based in that, like, we call a blitz. It's our strong side outside linebacker who's going. The problem with that is once you get motion, that can switch what the strong side is almost instantly. And then you have to call off a lot of these blitzes. Because they think of left and right, they just expand with the formation and they can keep those calls live. So like there's plays in the red zone where you're seeing fast motion, weird formations, and the blitz is still live. And they're getting two guys off the edge unblocked. That's a big positive. They play a lot of zone. I would say their identifying trait coverage wise is probably just five man pressures. So like behind five man pressures, you have six players. There's 11 players on the field. So they're sending an extra blitzer. You don't know where that blitzer is coming from. It's a lot of cover one, which is, you know, a safety playing in the middle of the field, trying to stop post routes. And then everyone else is playing manned. Or they play three high, three low coverage, which is basically like cover three minus a low zone defender, because that low zone guy is also coming on blitz. They're very aggressive in their blitzes. They play a ton of two high. So it essentially baits the offense into running the ball. And it seems like their thought process is, we're going to run so many blitzes and stunts up front that we're going to try to win a gap back. So we're going to try to bait you into the run. But you don't know, based off of where we align pre-snap, doesn't dictate where our defensive linemen and linebackers are going post-snap. So just because you're running against a front that, like, quote-unquote, looks like you can run against it, once the ball is live, that may not necessarily be the case. So, like, the Jets game was a good example because they used minus splits with the wide receivers, right, which is how a lot of these, like, Shanahan-type offenses try to get their wide receiver to block a safety to leave a cornerback unblocked. What the Packers are doing is they're rolling their coverage to that minus split wide receiver, that guy who's almost in a tight end alignment. And they're asking that crack block, instead of to be made at like 10 yards, they're rolling that safety and they're making it a car crash at the line of scrimmage. So those type of things are definitely new compared to Pettine, who would kind of just walk down the linebackers and say, hey, we're blitzing. And these are the gaps that we're going through.
Yeah. Thank you for that. I can see Zach laughing because I feel like he's looking at the clock of our timed Zoom meeting.
But I didn't want to interrupt because it's such good info.
Yeah, I was just going to say thank you. We're lucky to have you at Acme Packing Company.
Damn straight.
So that's great, though, because it is good. I think it's good for a lot of people to just go in with, I mean, that was way more than baseline knowledge, but like something to like look out for, you know, to kind of build our intelligence of what this defense is going to be throughout the rest of the season. That's exciting. Sorry, Zach.
No, don't apologize. All right, guys, we got exactly 4 minutes and 16 seconds left right now. Some off the wall predictions.
This is cool. It feels like a training camp practice.
Yeah, here we go. It's our 6 minute drill. And we got to get the poke in. We got some goalposts we got to hit here. Give me an off the wall prediction in lieu of our tarot card reading. Something random off the cuff that you think might happen this year. I don't know. Hit me. The clock is running.
I wouldn't be surprised if Oren Burks starts games this year at inside linebacker. He just flashed so much as a guy who blitzes from depth, which, again, the Packers want to blitz. They want to present, you know, a favorable run box pre-snap and then send guys post-snap. And Burks has done a very good job of that. McDuffie, you know, I think he was a 6th round pick, also did a good job at that once he started getting in games. The problem was he was hurt for, I think, the first two preseason games, if not just the first. So I wouldn't be surprised if either of them cracked the starting lineup at some point.
Nice. Oren Burks, a guy who's easy to root for. Alex.
Oh, yeah.
Give me an off the wall prediction.
I was going to say Rodgers wins another MVP, but that's not that off the wall because I think he's like just behind Mahomes, right?
Yeah.
So that I don't think off the wall prediction could be like one of the top three favorites for something, according to Vegas.
Stupid phrase I made up. Just predict something.
Yeah, man. I'm trying to get wacky. And this isn't even that off the wall because it doesn't encapsulate the whole season, but just kind of looking over the way I feel like the next few weeks are going to go. I was going to say that we'll see Jordan Love in prime time.
Damn
because
it.
I feel like the Packers are just going to fucking shit on the Lions so hard that Aaron Rodgers in like the third quarter is going to have the clipboard in his hand and the headset on. He's basically going to be coaching Jordan Love, and then Love's going to throw a touchdown. They're going to be like yucking it up, and it's just going to be like fucking like all like, you know,
put her in the old vice
in Green Bay. Home game against the Lions week two. Dan Campbell, you kidding me?
You think they're going to be like pointing fingers at like Tim Boyle on the other sideline?
Oh
like
my God.
Pointing at his crutches. Be like, what's up, crutch boy? You could have been here.
Right. Exactly. I'm just going to really enjoy the hell out of that after this offseason of controversy when on prime time, they're like, we just see Rodgers and Love just like smiling and being all buddy-buddy as they both get to play in that game. I can't believe you have the same one, Zach. This is, how does this happen? We should talk about this ahead of time, but we don't.
That was mine. Jordan Love will get regular. I have it written down. Jordan Love will get regular season snaps this year. And the best case scenario of that is garbage time where they're just blowing some team like the Lions out of the water. We got less than a minute left and that feels like a podcast. So I am going to hit the polka. And if this video ends before we end the podcast, guys, I want to thank you, Alex and Justice, for joining me. Justice, especially for bestowing upon us tremendous knowledge about a defense we have yet to really see anything from, but we will in a couple weeks because the regular season is officially upon us. The guy draft episode is next week, so get ready for that, guys. We're going to do our homework, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Again, we do have a Patreon, patreon.com/notenugs. If that is a thing you are interested in, the free way to support us is to give us a rating on iTunes. We saw a couple of those come in last week as well. Really appreciate it. Really helps the show. Not just our show, but the overall feed, which Justice will be joining, as well as the Reporting as Eligible podcast and a few others. So keep it locked in for all things Packers audio in the Acme Packing Company audio feed and on the blog, acmepackingcompany.com. And that's it. That's all I got. We did it. We did it, guys. I don't know. Maybe the timer's fake. I don't know why the video is still going. It says less than a minute. But we did it. All right. That's it.
Cut to black.
Cut to black.
Soprano style, baby.
I'll just end the music abruptly. Soprano style.